Dear Cheap Astronomy, how low can you go and still maintain an orbit? Assuming planets were perfectly inelastic spheres with no atmosphere, then there'd be no hypothetical limit to how low you could orbit. But since planets aren't perfect inelastic spheres, and they generally do have atmospheres, there's a point below which orbiting just becomes impractical. On Earth, this is largely due to the high energy cost of trying to maintain an orbit against atmospheric drag. Below 40 kilometers altitude, it's vastly easier just to use aircraft, since you can take off, do some science, and then land again and spend the night in an inexpensive motel. Any higher than 40 kilometers, there's just not enough air density for aeronautics. But in this region, there's still a whole bunch of cost-benefit issues to weigh up. There's still a sparse atmosphere at these altitudes, which means that the lower your orbit is, the more fuel you'll have to burn just to maintain that orbit against air resistance. So it works out that even though you need to burn a lot more fuel to get to a higher orbit, once you're there, you can coast a lot more because there's less atmospheric drag to contend with. Mind you, that all assumes you want to stay in orbit for a long time, like a year or more. One of our lowest orbiting unpowered satellites was Sputnik 1, which managed 1,440 elliptical orbits around Earth over the course of 3 months, where those orbits had a perigee of just 215 kilometres. However, Sputnik's orbital apogee was 900 kilometres, which is well above the more circular orbits of Skylab at 235 kilometres, Mir at 360 kilometres, the ISS at about 400 kilometres, and the Hubble Space Telescope at 570 kilometres. All these spacecraft stayed in low Earth orbits for years at a time, but only as a result of altitude reboosting by visiting spacecraft and with the additional help of onboard boosters in the case of the ISS. But anyway, that's just Earth. Even if planets don't have dense atmospheres like Earth, there are still gravitational and tidal influences to think about. A very massive satellite, like a moon, in orbit around a planet creates a tidal bulge on that planet, literally stretching the planet towards itself. So, for example, Phobos in orbit around Mars orbits Mars faster than the planet rotates. So the tidal bulge it creates is pulling back on it as it goes around, which slows down its orbit. As a result of this, it's estimated that Phobos's altitude will keep declining slowly and steadily until it reaches Mars's Roche limit and gets torn to bits about 30 million years from now. On the other hand, the orbital velocity of the Earth's moon is being slowly accelerated by the tidal bulge it creates on Earth, which is constantly pushing the moon forward due to the fact that the Earth rotates faster than the moon orbits. So the steady acceleration of the moon's orbital velocity is raising the moon's orbit by about 4 centimetres a year. The happy medium between those two scenarios is what's known as a synchronous orbit, where the satellite's orbital period is the same as the planet's rotational period. So for Earth, a satellite is in a synchronous orbit at around 36,000 kilometres. For Mars, which has a similar rotational period to Earth, but a lot less gravity, the altitude of a synchronous orbit around it is about 17,000 kilometres. However, a synchronous orbit is a knife-edge balance. So all our geostationary satellites that are in synchronous orbits around Earth have to maintain station-keeping. That is, they have to burn a bit of fuel to stay in position, even at 36,000 kilometres altitude. And apparently station keeping is an even more challenging prospect around Mars, where the synchronous orbit is lower and the planet's lesser mass and gravity means its geometry is even less constrained towards forming a perfect sphere. For example, Mars has Olympus Mons, a 22-kilometer-high shield volcano, while the Earth has nothing higher than the 9-kilometer Mount Everest. Olympus Mons represents such a huge concentration of mass that it would give any low-altitude satellite a palpable hit of gravitational perturbation as it passed beneath it. So, in a nutshell, while low-altitude orbits are possible, they are generally energy inefficient and just plain fiddly to manage. If you're in the artificial satellite business, it's much better to go high so you can go long.